Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
All right, welcome everybody to this week's episode of Refresh Your Wealth, where we are coming to you live. And so it may not sound as clean and crisp as some of those other fancy podcasts out there, like ours on off weeks. But yeah. we're here in the ghetto, just keeping costs in check and on our internet radio portal. So, live.
Yeah, because that's how you do it live, man. How many podcasts do it live nowadays? So. Hey, but you know what else is going live right now, too, is the impeachment hearings. If you're listening to the Refresh Wealth podcast live over the impeachment hearings, I want to tell you, you have made a good decision.
Oh, my word. Our country. Oh, crazy. Well, this is not a political talk show, or else we'd open a can of worms and offend someone within the first 30 seconds of our comments. So yeah. We are non-denominational.
Half the audience is gone. Yep.
Yep, that's right. And we're not sure which half, because we don't even know where we stand. I mean, it's crazy. So
that's right.
We're about saving you taxes, building your wealth, asset protection, not following Wall Street's marching orders. We want to help you on Main Street America build your American dream. So if you're with us here and you've got a question, you can email us at Mark, M-A-R-K, at K-K-O-S, as in Sam, KKOSlawyers.com. Or Matt, M-A-T, at K-K-O-S, as in Sorensen, I should say, lawyers, L-A-W-Y-E-R-S.com, Mark or Matt. And if you are listening live on your phone or computer and you have a question for us, you can call in. And the guest call-in number is 646-668-8326. I'll repeat that, and this is the same number every time we do an open forum show, so you could use this number, put it in your phone as a, you know, Refresh Your Wealth call-in, 646-668-8326. When you get in the queue, just press the number 1, and our beautiful host will come on and talk with you and find out where you're calling from, and then we'll get you out on the show.
That's right.
Beautiful and sexy intern. A.K.A. Mark Kohler.
That's right.
So
Mark Kohler, yeah. I mean, he's host, intern, attorney, CPA. He does it all, man. He does it all.
I'm part of the Me Too movement. I can sexually harass myself, so.
There you go. Enjoy. I don't want to explain anything more. I'm just going to walk into something totally wrong there. Let's just let that one lie.
Yeah, we're not going to repeat that one. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I wanted to take that one back. You know, on that note, though, it's funny. My wife the other night was like, hey, we've been binge-watching all these shows. Why don't we watch Mad Men? And I'm like, you're sure up for this because it's 1950s. You know, either everybody's got a cigarette in their hand
right. And
they're condescending to women and every other race on the planet. Are you sure you're up for this? You get into it and you're like, oh, my gosh, is this really what the 50s were like? Yeah. And
yeah, brace
I think it is. I think it's real. So,
dang.
Well, welcome everybody. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and it's good to be back on the Open Forum show. It's my favorite show too, and it is the most listened to show every time we do it. So, thanks for those for listening in and sending in questions. I think one just thing I was going to note, we do have our solo 401k special going on right now. This is a little commercial interruption, I guess. So, and I have a couple questions on solo case too, which we'll hit. So if you want to self-direct, save taxes at the end of the year, consider doing a solo K with a special right now. You can go to kkoslawyers.com to learn a little more on it.
Well, it's ironic because Matt has been so busy. He's been buried in a client matter, and he did not realize, I think, that I said open forum show bring in your questions on 401ks and retirement plans. So we are giving preferential treatment to the 401k audience out there today. Now, some of you may go, well, I don't want to talk about 401ks. That's cool. We'll take other questions too. But this is the time of year where you might want to put money into a SEP, an IRA, a Roth, a 401k. Do I have employees? Should I try a group out? Can I sell? You know, all these little questions that come around with this. That's what we do in the month of November every year because so many folks want to get a tax write-off before year end. So, Matt, there's a reason why you've got a few more questions in there on 401ks.
I usually get a steady diet of IRA 401k questions. So,
yes, you do.
It's all the same to me. But that's okay. That's the crap I like. So.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, we're going to do our best to answer your questions. We've got a couple live callers already in the queue. So let us hit a couple base hits here. We're up for batting practice.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pick and choose some easy questions, get the ball rolling, if you will.
Yeah.
And then we'll have you guys out on the show.
Yeah.
Matt, do you have a question you want to kick us off with?
Yeah. Yeah. When you're saying batting practice, I think it's more like basketball season right now. So I was thinking before the game they do the warm-ups and do the layups, you know.
Mm.
They're just kind of doing layups at the beginning. And then some guy will show off and dunk it. And that's going to be marked in a second here.
Yeah. The water boy is going to come out and there will be a timeout and squirt water in everybody's mouth. That's what I do. So.
Okay. Okay. I do have a good. Okay. This is a solo K Roth question. So this is from Jed. All right.
Now put it in perspective for everybody. For all those listening, you can have a 401k. I'm not Matt. Matt, let me just say this in general. This is good.
Yeah.
I want to is that okay, Matt? I interrupted you.
Yes.
You're okay.
Yes.
You've got thick skin today.
Give me an alley-oop here.
Here's your alley-oop. Okay, everybody listening, when we do this open forum show, we cover everything from writing off your auto to your kids to writing off your calculator on your desk and then asset protection, LLCs, trusts, estate plan. We try to cover it all and help you build wealth too. Talk about what our successful clients are doing with their retirement accounts or buying rental property, all that stuff. But today we are focusing on this retirement plan theory. And here, let's set the table. Before year end, if you have a small business or even just passive income from a rental property and you want to fund a Roth or a IRA or 401k, a lot of planning needs to happen before year end. Now, you can fund certain things up until April 15th. But if you're a business owner and you want to put away a chunk of change, maybe 5, 10, 15 grand, are you married, you have kids, all these questions need to be answered in the next 6 weeks. So can you believe that? Christmas isn't like in six freaking weeks. I can't believe that. So it's a little easier for me to believe because we've had some snow up here in Idaho. Matt's down in 75-degree weather golfing, so it's even harder for him to get it. But
exactly. Yep.
So, So everybody, when we talk about these questions, you can have your own 401k in your own business. If you don't have employees, it's called a solo. You can control the checkbook of that solo 401k through your business, which is called a self-directed 401k. For those out there that have employees, we can still do a group self-directed 401k. However, I will tell you now, so those questions may come up today, we've all missed the deadline for doing a group 401k this year in 2019. So we want to kick that off next year. Now, inside
but
of 401k,
solo K is good.
You can have
solo K is good through the end of the year.
So good.
If you're sticking solo, you're good. You got to get your crap together though. In 6 weeks.
Yep. Now, on that note, last point is inside the 401k, you can have a traditional piece where you get a write-off to put money in, or you can have a Roth piece. In fact, think of a 401k like a honeycomb, where you have all these little cells. If you're eating a piece of honeycomb, they're now in grocery stores now where you can get them with really nice cheeses and crackers. You see those little cells inside a honeycomb. One might be your traditional. One might be your Roth. One might be your spouse's traditional. Your spouse's Roth. Your kid's traditional. Your kid's Roth. So you can have all these little cells or accounts inside a 401k, even if it's a solo. So, Matt, I just teed it up for you. So you've got a question about someone asking about the Roth cell inside a 401k. So I'm going to let – is that okay? A little intro. I hope that was
helpful. I like that. I like that. Brings everybody up to speed on where Jed is already at, because Jed already has a self-directed solo 401k, and which I think we set up actually. And of course, you know, we can set them up for you. And he had us a Roth account in that. He also has a traditional account in it. So this is a great setup. Now, he said, I invested in a small partnership that's buying a new apartment building to hold as a rental. So he's a part, his solo K, his traditional account, and his Roth account both invested in 50-50 in the total money he needed. So maybe his share was 100 grand, and he put in 50 from his traditional account and 50 from his Roth account. Now, those are held separately, right? Because my traditional dollars, that the money I'm making for that piece of money I put in, goes back into my traditional account. The Roth dollars, the money I made from that, goes back to my Roth account. And you'll have, he'll have two different bank accounts for those two different accounts within the solo K. Now, he says, 2019 is not a good year to convert for me. Presumably, he's got high income. But I like to convert the traditional portion to Roth on January 1st. Says, if we've not yet broken ground on the project, otherwise done any changes, the value of the partnership before January 1, can I make the conversion using the initial investment amount as the value? Okay, this is a great question. Now, let me back up again. If you have money in a 401k, you can always convert those dollars to Roth. So if it's traditional dollars, you can always convert them to Roth. Now, if you do it now, and this is Jed's question, it's going to go on his 2019 tax bill because we're in 2019. If he waits until January 1st, and this is the same thing for those of you with traditional IRAs converting to Roth IRAs, same thing, traditional solo K account to Roth solo K account. If you convert on January 1st, you're in the 2020 tax year. Now it's going on your 2020 tax return. So it's delaying the tax when it's due, and it's also putting you into a year when maybe he'll have lower income. Now, the question is, can you use the initial investment amount as the value? When you convert from traditional to Roth, you have to say what is the fair market value of the traditional account's investment. So if it put in 50 grand 3 months ago and it just bought a property and there's nothing that's happened, there's been no change really in the investment, could he use that same 50 grand value that from when the traditional dollars went in? My sense would be yes. You want some documentation on hand for that. And in a solo K, you're the one doing that conversion, the conversion election form we have, and our bot goes out on solo Ks to help you through that and instructions on how you do it. Because in a solo K, you're the trustee and administrator. You do everything. You have the checkbook. You're the one moving the money around and investing it. It's not a custodian for an IRA like we do at Directed IRA for IRA accounts. So, yes, I like the idea. You can confirm January 1. Probably can use the prior value as long as it was within the last 90 days. If you invested that money earlier, you might need some additional paperwork. Again, the trustee and administrator, so it's up to you, and it'll be up to you to prove that the value is what it actually was when you did it on January 1st if you're audited.
Matt,
yes.
I love it. Very good, very good. I like it. One thing I would say, too, for anybody out there, a lot of times, now this is a side issue because we're talking about retirement accounts today a little bit for tax planning. If you're going to convert any money to a Roth and you're going to pay the tax this year, you want to kind of figure out where am I at in my tax bracket. Do your best to guesstimate. And so I've shot a video on YouTube called The Roth Conversion Sweet Spot. Where should I be stopping Roth conversions? Because it might put me in a higher bracket, or how much money can I convert safely, at what bracket? And you want to know the answer to that and estimate as best you can, because the next dollar you might put in to a Roth conversion could be taxed at a 6-8% higher rate, so you may want to hold off and then do that in January and kind of chunk at it. So anyway, I just wanted to add that, and I want to caution everybody, when you go to search for that on YouTube, make sure you type Mark Kohler Roth sweet spot. If you just search sweet spot, I'm not liable for what you might see. So be careful. That's a very important comment. There's a children's show here, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay, now we've got our regular call. Lee is a regular caller of ours from Texas. And Lee, he's had a lot of radio show time, and we love him. So I'm going to ask Lee to be patient. I've got to bring out Bob from Seattle on the show. Ironically, Bob, I've seen your email this last few weeks, and you're like, what the heck, guys? I call and I never get on the show. And Bob, we have not been picking on you. So I don't know. I think
thank
it's just
you. Appreciate
the list
that.
Comes up, and so I want to apologize. And so, Bob, welcome to the show. This is we're so happy to have
Hi,
you.
Hi, thanks. Great. Thank you very much. Hi, guys. So this is a solo 401k question as well.
I have
the opportunity to create a loan $80,000 on a hard money loan on a flip. And I have that cash outside of my solo K, but not all of it in my solo K. And I was wondering if I could partner with my solo K and co-fund, like put $40,000 in from my personal money and $40,000 in from my solo K. So at least half of the interest comes back tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I know Matt could answer this with, this is like Matt answering this. He could be three sheets to the wind drunk and still answer this question accurately. So I'm going to ask, could I have a shot here once in a while? Is this okay, Matt?
Yes.
Okay. You'll give me a chance. Okay. Bob, I apologize because, thanks for giving me a chance. Okay. So, Bob, the answer is yes, you can do it. And you really have two options. You could, the easiest would be to create a simple LLC. And let's say the loan is $100,000 and you put in $60,000 of your IRA or 401k money and $40,000 of your own money. The LLC is owned 60-40, it's pro rata, and then that LLC is what goes on the note and the trust deed when you go out and do the loan. So you take that extra step first to create that LLC. Now there's one more option, but the benefit of option one is when the money comes back to you, you still have it all go to the LLC. So you're ready to go for deal number two, deal number three. And you don't have to call the custodian to have him sign the note. And that's it. So some people are like, darn, I don't want to set up an LLC for $1,000 or $1,500. Well, in the long run, that efficiency will really save you. So there's a cost and there's a benefit. You just want to go in with your eyes wide open. Now, option two, and this is where – okay, any question on that? Or does that sound good?
Makes perfect sense. Nope. We're good.
Okay, option two, I'm going to take a stab at, and then I'm going to let Matt, come up to the plate and clean it here, back clean it. You can do what's kind of a bifurcated note, where you have the borrower give you a note that maybe has two lenders involved, and you're both on the note, you and the 401k account, but then you've got to calculate interest cautiously. When the money pays back, it's got to go to two different lenders. It's pretty clunky, but we see people do that because they're hell-bent not to do an LLC. I guess the third option I should throw out too, is that people will do kind of a trust. They'll set up a trust where the beneficial interests are the two the retirement account and you, and then the trust loans the money. And that can work too, but you've got to have the right type of trust document and make sure that you're okay in the way you've execute it. So, Matt, am I missing an option, or do you like those two and three?
Actually, the LLC is cleaner to me. Sorry, go ahead.
The LLC is the easiest. It just has a cost. The second option is common, and that's particularly common like California, where you're loaning money on a real estate deal, and it's usually hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we see that very common in that market. But that's just one note. You break it up, and it could be 50-50, two lenders on it, but then you run into the issue of the borrower's got to cut two payments because I don't want you collecting money and paying your 401k or vice versa. Or you could use a third-party payment processor that takes the money and sends the half to your 401k and sends you the other half. So that could be done too. But the LLC makes it clean because you just have the one lender. The borrower makes one payment, goes to the LLC bank account, and then you cut it up from there.
Yeah,
makes sense. One question on that. Can I do any ratio? Can I do 90-10 from either, or do they have to be somewhere within a any kind of ratios between the two parties?
Well,
it doesn't matter.
It's
whatever the dollars are.
Yeah.
Okay, so I could put in 80% of the money personally and 20% from my solo K, and then I just split the interest out of that. The interest payments come out 80-20 or whatever. Right.
Yeah, and the principal goes back in the same way too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And frankly, the interest payments would go to the LLC. Yeah. And then.
Right.
And gosh, this opens up a whole Pandora's box. So, let me say one more thing, Bob, too, and you one last follow up if you've got one. But when the note pays back, we want to say the interest goes to the LLC, and then it's captured there. And then you've got your principal and interest back. Now you go do a deal number two or three. It only has to be split when there's a tax return filed or when you dissolve the LLC.
Right.
That's when you actually split it up between the two. So, because you've got to claim your 20%, in that example, 80% was your money, so you got to claim 80% of the income on your tax return. So the LLC would do a tax return, because there's two partners, and the IRS wants to know what the freak's going on, and then that's when the allocation would occur.
Okay. And I'm assuming if I continue forward and do loan number two, loan number three, can I change the ratios midstream, or am I locked into those ratios?
You're locked in. Yeah, that's why you may want to go a 50-50 or a ratio that makes the most sense. If you do the LLC route, now you could change it up on a per note basis, but again, then you run back into the issue of, you know, probably need a payment processor or some third party that can escrow the payments to send half to you and half to your 401k. But that could switch up, obviously, note to note, because you just every new note you would fund in a different percent. But the LLC, if you're going to switch it every note you do, you're going to have to – you can't just change the ownership, because that results in sending ownership from the 401k to you personally or vice versa, and that's prohibited.
Got it. Okay. And one more just real quick question. On the contributions from my company into the LLC – I'm sorry, into the 401k, does that always have to be from active income? Or if I, let's say, put in $50,000, I contribute $50,000 into my company LLC, can I turn that around and put it in as an annual contribution into my solo K?
You bet. I can field that one. That's a good one. And, Bob, I want to say thanks for calling. I really appreciate it. I'm going to answer that one with get us back online here. I want to say thanks again for calling and your patience. trying to get on the line with us the last couple times.
That's okay.
So, thanks, Bob. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off your questions early. This is a really good point, too, though. What's awesome about Bob's call is you start getting into this and you're like, oh my gosh, that opens up another question. So whenever we do an IRA LLC for our clients, and we've been doing this for 15 years, you get an hour with the attorney to really vet all these questions, make sure the IRA LLC is set up properly, and how many partners, 401k is whatever, and all these issues are vetted, so you'll love it. And we set up the LLC included, and it's never more than $1,500 unless you've got a bunch of extra time you want to spend on some issues. But okay, so Bob, on this question of the putting in the money to the 401k, you have to have profit. Well, you have to at least issue yourself a W-2, or you've got to have a Schedule C that has earned income.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next question, if we were in a consultation, Bob and I would ask him, okay, tell me about your business. How much money are you going to make? Are you married or single? And are you taking a W-2? Do you have an S-Corp? Is it an LLC? Do you have a partner? And so everybody listening, this is really good what Bob asked, but it does open kind of, again, that box. And so, but I will say in general, you have to be making money in order to fund a 401k, because the IRS is like, hold it. A 401k is for an employee of a business that's making money, or a sole proprietorship that's making money. If you're not making money, how can you put money in a 401k? And the IRS kind of gets testy with that. So,
And I think since he said he was a Schedule C, or since he said he was an LLC, I presume he's taking tax as a sole prop and it's going on Schedule C, which you need self-employment income. But let's say he was an S-Corp and he threw money into the company and then paid himself out salary and took a W-2. Then I'd be okay with it. You could take it off of, but I don't know that's his situation unless he's an LLC tax as an S-Corp. But if you'd have to throw money in on a W-2, you know, in that scenario, which you generally wouldn't do if you weren't really profitable. So.
Yeah. Well, great questions. Now, everybody, you might feel like, oh my gosh, you guys spent a lot of time on that. But these are all questions that we knew we wanted to cover today, and I think Bob helped us cover some good ground. Okay, now for those that have called in, if you have a question for us live on the show and you're in the queue, make sure you press number one, and then we'll find you and get you out on the show. If not, we're going to continue to work through these email questions. And before we do that, let's go out to one of our favorite listeners, Lee in Midland, Texas, sending us great referrals and telling all of his buddies about our show as well. We really appreciate you, Lee. What's going on?
Hey, I have to tell you, that screener is very pretty.
Yeah.
I like it. Oh, that's funny.
All right. I've got an LLC, taxes and S corp, and okay. I'm a W-2 employee. If the company gives me a bonus and I pay W-2 taxes on the bonus, does the bonus increase the amount that the company can put into the 401k up to the company limit?
Yes.
Yes,
it does.
Go for it, Mark.
And okay, and for everybody out there, this is I've only got two videos that use the word sweet spot, and this is another one called the 401k sweet spot out on YouTube. And many of you will find this really helpful. Seriously, I know. Innuendos or puns aside, it's really a good thing, because a lot of people say, "Well, how much do you want?" We'll ask them, "How much do you want to put in your 401k?" Well, you can do up to $19,000 this year, plus 25% of the salary that the company pays you. Now, if you're a sole proprietorship, maybe like Bob's situation, we'd look at the profit of the company, and it'd be 25% of the profit. It actually ends up being around
20%.
Yeah,
it's actually 20.
Sole prop.
Yeah, it's about 20. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So a sole prop is, again, another bad thing we generally want to stay away from. But anyway, so on this 401k, you get $19,000 to put in up to yourself. Of your, so you got to take a payroll of at least about $21,000, because you got to pay your FICA, and your net paycheck is $19,000. We drop that in the 401k. Then the company gets to do 25% of whatever your payroll is, and that's the match, and the company gets a write-off for you for that, which is you. Now, as in Lee's example here, he says, well, at the end of the year, I'm going to throw out another $10,000 on my payroll. I'll say, okay, well, then that increases the match by 25%. Now, if I was on the phone with Lee, I'd go, why are you doing a bonus? And he says, well, I want to take more money. Well, I'd say, well, freaking just take a draw. And he says, well, but I want to put more money in my 401k. Okay, then take a bonus. But see, you don't have to take a bonus at the end of the year if you want the money. This is an S-corp planning strategy. So many of you on the phone, or on the computer, or your, wherever you're listening today, be really careful of just taking more W-2 income randomly without a targeted sweet spot for why you're doing it. And that's what we're shooting for. Lee, does that help?
Yes, it does. The net take-home pay then, in other words, minus the taxes, is what you're basing the contribution on?
Ooh.
Well, it's going to be the W-2. Yeah, keep in mind it's the W-2. So if you're an LLC tax as an S-corp, the contribution is based on the W-2. So if you are wanting to max out the total contribution, let's say you're like, well, I want to get the whole 56 in there, you need to have a W-2 of about $140,000. And that you generally you're going to have more total net profit. You know, you're going to have a profit in the business coming through you. But if you want to max out and you're like, hey, I'm at the end of the year, maybe I paid myself 100 so far this year, but I want to max out the 401k, maybe call it bonus, whatever you want, you're going to have to up your W-2 that's going to work dollar in on in order to get the max contribution. That's just the angle of how to think about it.
Well,
yeah,
Mark
and to answer, well, Lee, let me say, I know your question. Lee's saying, well, if I take $20,000 in salary, but then I do FICA and my net is $18,500. Your contribution is based on the net after FICA. The company
match
is based on the gross payroll.
That's good.
Yep. Good stuff, Lee. You always make us – you try to stump us every week, and it's good for us. So.
And I'll say this back at the front end of the question is bonus can be not included in 401k contributions. So most company 401k plans – actually will not do contributions on your bonus. They do contributions on your regular salary. So, like, if you have a company that, you know, with the money, most of those company 401ks, or say the bonus is not part of salary of what they will make a match on, you can still contribute employee contribution dollars. Don't do the match off of it. And that's in the plan document. Our solo K plan allows bonus to be considered part of the compensation if you're kind of structuring your comp in that way. But for a lot of self-employed clients, it's just, it's all in the W-2. It doesn't, you call it bonus, salary, whatever. It's salary wages on your W-2. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, Lee, thank you again for listening. We sure appreciate you. Go,
thank you.
Go get some barbecue at Bucky's for me. That's what I need.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you, man. Also, shout out to Bob back in Seattle. I was so stoked with the Seattle Seahawks win on Monday night against the Chiefs. And I'm a Chiefs fan. That's the problem, is I have two teams in the same division, which is stupid. But I love the Chiefs, and I love Seattle, and I was torn, but Russell Wilson's my guy. I was wearing my Russell Wilson socks, my Seattle Seahawks jacket, because I grew up in Washington State, so I was all go team Monday night.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't even know who's good anymore. I have no idea. I've heard the Cardinals. I've heard that the Cardinals are terrible, but that's about it.
Okay, now we're going to start in some email questions, and let's go quick, people. This is good. We got a bunch here. I'm going to just throw out quick answers, Matt. You do the same, and let's do a speed round here.
Okay.
This is from Jasmine. Let's just try it. Okay, so Jasmine says, and I think, Matt, you saw this email too. I don't know if we have the answer, but I'm going to at least pose it for everybody so you know what's going on. I'm a U.S. citizen and qualify for the foreign earned income exclusion because I live outside of the U.S. and I have an active U.S. business. Is there a strategy where I can contribute to my IRA or 401k with foreign earned income exclusion? And then she throws in Roth or traditional. Matt, I don't know the answer. Do you?
I didn't read that question because I didn't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I was going to duck it.
Jeff, yeah, you're going to duck it. I take it head on, man. I take it. So
you do.
People need to know. I'm like, slap me across the face when I needed it.
Mark's like Ron Burgundy. You know, if you throw up a key card, he's just going to read it. So, you know, you send it an email, he's just going to read it. Doesn't matter what's on there. So careful what you guys email in.
Yeah, I love Jasmine, that. Matt would have skipped your question. You know, not me. I'm here for you.
True.
Okay. But the bright side is,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
But even with that.
the question mark. Sorry. That was enough of that.
No, it's good. But even with all that integrity, I don't know. So, regrettably, Jasmine, I'm going to save this question and see if I can get an answer for you. And we'll email you back. It's a good one.
I got one.
Back to Will Ferrell movies. Okay, you go ahead, Matt. Okay, speed round.
Okay, I got one from Chris. He talked about asset protection in your 401k. He says, my understanding is that solo 401ks do not fall under ERISA protection and 401k law. So what basically is asking, what's the question in a 401k? And he says, one caveat I heard is there's an original contribution to a solo K is a rollover from a prior employer 401k. This individual contribution retains its original ERISA protection. Is this true? Okay, these are some deep, deep questions here. I'll take a step back. I'm trying to go speed round here. Retirement plans in general, whether you're looking at an IRA or a 401k or a solo K or a pension plan, whatever, have excellent asset protection. Those accounts, you can usually file bankruptcy, or as Mark put in our newsletter, you can, you know, be O.J. Simpson and have a lawsuit, civil judgment against you, and still keep your retirement account. Now, there is a distinction, though. If you live in the great state of California has not given very great protections to IRAs and non-ERISA retirement accounts, which would include a solo K. In California, their protection says we will protect the account up to the amount that is necessary to cover the beneficiaries, basically for retirement. So if you have a $1 million account and you're getting sued, you're probably not going to be able to keep the whole thing. California is only going to say, well, how much do you really need for retirement? What other assets do you have? And we can let a creditor come in and take your IRA or even your solo 401k. So in most states, you're going to at least get a $1 million protection for your account, regardless of what your rest of your net worth is or how big the lawsuit is. So it's really, I think, for people in California that need to worry about that, which is where Chris is from. So keep in mind, though, retirement accounts in general, if you were going to get sued, you'd rather have money in all your money in retirement accounts, whether it's IRAs or 401ks or pension plans, whatever. That's like the best place to have it. Very hard for a creditor.
Yeah, yeah, so good. And I'm just going to add this quickly. Another way of saying this, I think, is, Chris, to generally say that solo 401ks do not fall under ERISA is federally okay to say, but then the states may protect it. So it's really kind of a state issue, and you have to look state by state. So you don't want to just say, oh, solo 401ks aren't protected. Well, they may be protected in your state, not in California, but they could be protected in another state.
Right.
This is why many of you don't know. This is so crazy. And this is why I did a chapter in my book on this, and I literally call it Be Like OJ. You know, and I know that's crazy because I don't want you to be like him in some really bad ways. But,
yeah.
But for asset protection, yeah, he was amazing. If you watch the AMC or Netflix original, I can't remember which one it's at, so good on the O.J. Simpson story. I made my kids watch it, and they were like, this can't be real. And I'm like, no, it's real. And they were like, what? And but what was amazing
was that about Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yeah.
Or
he moved.
Okay, yeah, that was I think that was an Amazon original, yeah.
Yeah, he moved all of his domicile and all of his assets to Florida. People, he was so calculated. You have no idea. That's why he kept. Now, his 401k was from the – yeah, premeditated. That's what they call it in criminal law, is premeditated.
Yeah.
FYI. But he was calculated in a number of ways. But his 401k was not a solo. It was under the NFL. But still, he got the home exemption by moving to Florida, which was unlimited at the time. Florida changed the law because of him, because they were so embarrassed about it, and other things. So
they got WorldCom. What was the other one? They got all the like corporate symbol people all fled to Florida and just bought huge homes. Oh, what was the other one?
Yeah.
Enron. All the Enron execs did the same thing. Anyways, a little throwback.
Okay. All right, speed round. This is from Drew. He says, thanks so much for all you do. I currently have an LLC with an S election, which is my primary operational business. My wife and I are also starting some other businesses, and per your teaching, I think our S Corp should own those LLCs so everything flows into the through to the main S Corp. Love it! Drew, you nailed it. Everybody, if you missed that, rewind and listen when you're listening to the recording. However, the current S Corp is my primary business, and there are some liability concerns at that level. As such, I'm wondering if we should create another LLC, like a family LLC, make it the S election, and then restructure our current LLC to remove the S election so that it flows into our new S Corp. Does that make sense? Is that a difficult thing to get done? Any info you can provide on this would be greatly appreciated. It makes sense. Very difficult to do. Pain in the butt. Depending on your type of business, it could be not as painful versus another type of business that maybe has a lot of billing accounts, accounts receivable, built-in assets, appreciation, merchant accounts. Some people, the S-Corp's much more simpler. So I don't know if you really need to worry about that asset protection issue too, because the S-Corp gives you phenomenal protection as long as you keep those baby LLCs completely separate. So whether it's a sister company or a subsidiary, if you're following separate rules, you're going to generally be okay anyway. So, but I would, if you're going to do this, Drew, if you're going to pull the trigger on this, you definitely want to do it in December, because you want to start the new year off fresh. You never want to do what you're talking about in the middle of a year. It'd be a freaking nightmare. So if you're thinking about it, talk to your accountant, your lawyer. That may be us at the office here, but talk about it in the next 6 weeks or wait until the end of 2020. Okay, Matt, your question. No follow-ups.
All right.
No follow-ups. It's going to go. Boom. I'm not going to follow up on yours unless you're totally wrong.
That's right. Okay. All right. Appreciate that. This is from James. He said, I'm guessing you can own an Airbnb in an IRA, whether it be a solo K or Roth IRA, but which type suits this investment best for tax purposes? And what kind of tax ramifications are there for having this type of business in each type, IRA or solo K? UBIT, UDFI in regards to the Airbnb in an IRA. Okay. So, yes, you can own an Airbnb property, rent it out in a solo 401k or a Roth IRA or any type of self-directed account, HSA, you could have your covered out, whatever. Any of those things can own an Airbnb property that you rent out. Now, there are two tax issues to think about, which James brings both of them up. The first is UBIT. This is a tax that applies when an IRA receives business income as opposed to like investment income, such as rental property. So we want to avoid getting business income. Now, an Airbnb is considered a business and has business income if you're providing services during the stay. Like people are there and you're providing, you know, more like bed and breakfast stuff, or you're cleaning the property while they're there. So you want to avoid having services during the stay. You can have cleaning in between tenants and stuff like that and be okay. But we want it to be rental income, because I want rental income in your solo K or Roth IRA, because there's no UBIT tax on that. It just goes in, it grows your account, you're not paying tax. It's what you think of when you think of an IRA investing and making money. So remember, avoid having business income and providing services during stay with an Airbnb. The second thing is UDFI. Now, it's good someone brought this up, because this is a distinction on the solo K for IRAs. In a solo 401k or any employer-based plan, pension plan, whatever, there is an exemption on this tax called UDFI that does not apply to IRAs. Now, UDFI is a tax that applies when you bring in debt to purchase an asset. Let's say I bought a property for 100 grand and I used an IRA, and I put 40,000 down from the IRA. I got a loan for the other 60, which, by the way, has to be non-recourse, but I got a loan of 60 grand. The IRS looks at that and says, well, you brought in debt. This isn't all retirement plan money. 60% of this deal was non-retirement plan funds. It was debt. So we're going to tax 60% of the profits. So when you make 10 grand, 6,000 of that, 60%, and this is on your net, 10 grand net, will be subject to this UDFI tax. Now, solo 401ks are exempt. Solo 401ks are exempt from that, whereas IRAs have to pay. That was a very important point. That's one of the benefits of a solo 401k.
Yeah. I thought we were doing a speed round. That's okay.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you summarized it wonderfully. I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
Matt and I
mean,
try to have some fun here. Okay.
Sometimes a speed round is a 50-yard dash. Sometimes it's a 400-meter, you know. Just.
You're still running fast.
Yeah. I'm going fast.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. This is from Jeff out in Philadelphia. Sometimes we got the cities these folks are from, and we love that. Appreciate this cosmopolitan show. He came to the Philly workshop, but Jeff's from a state right in that area. Before I give him you his height and the Social Security number, I better back off. I'm just joking. Okay. So Jeff says, he's a realtor. He says, I'm working my business out of my home, but I decide to rent to a virtual office space for meeting business contacts. What is my best tax strategy? Which should I use as my official business address? All right, these are really two questions. I'm going to go quick. Everybody out there, under IRS law in the last 3 to 4 years, there has come about what's called the admin home office, which allows you to have both an office at home and an office where you primarily meet your contacts, like a virtual office space. So, Jeff, we're going to write off both. So it's really an economical decision for you is, does this virtual office space make sense? Is it important for my business? Should I pay for it? If you pay for it, it's going to be a write-off. That's a no-brainer. And I'm still going to write off your home office under the same strategy you were before. But you want to look at that from an economic standpoint. But then he also throws in this little red herring. Which should I use as my official office or official business address? Now we get into some privacy questions too. Do you want your home address out there in public record? Do you want people knocking on your home front door? You might use, and I would highly suggest, if you're going to rent virtual office space, gosh darn it, make that your official business address too, so you can create a little more separation from your home and business life, a little more privacy. If you're doing property management as a realtor or broker, which could happen, you don't need tenants trying to track you down at home. So we do have a virtual mailbox mail forwarding system at our office where we scan your mail. You get a ping. You can look at your mail online. You don't even have to drive out to the P.O. box. It is amazing. $200, and we do it for up to three companies for a whole year. If you're interested in that, call the office and talk to Courtney. She's great, and she will hook you up. So there you go, Jeff. So privacy, and we're going to write off both your home office and virtual. All right, Matt.
All right, since you strayed from the 401k, solo K topic, I'm going to as well because this is a good one. This is from Scott from the 48th state in the union. Do you know which one that is, Mark? State 48.
Okay, let me guess. Hawaii.
Nope.
Alaska.
Nope. Those are 49.
I'm not going to Google.
Arizona. State 48.
What?
Who would have thought? Yeah, I know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a big thing here. They have, like, T-shirts and hats. State 48 is a thing. But anyway, Scott's from Arizona. It has nothing to do with the question.
Better late
but,
than never.
Yeah. He says, I was reading an article about piercing the corporate veil and how to protect one assets. It said one solution when for assets in an LLC is equity stripping, which he's quoting here, which is a superior lawsuit prevention technique to prevent reverse veil piercing by using a second LLC, a lender, to create liens on properties in your real estate LLC. There is no equity, no target for claimants, along with total legal and tax compliance. He says, can you explain this second LLC, how it would create liens on properties in the real estate holding LLC, and would you recommend any of this to your clients? As such, he says, always thanks for the great content. Ooh, okay. This is a great question. So let's kind of frame the issue. If I've got assets in an LLC, I've got a bunch of rental properties in an LLC, let's say, and I have a tenant that sues the LLC, well, they can get what's in the LLC. So if I've got equity in a property, there's some exposure there. Now, maybe I have some insurance and other things I got there. They can't sue me. That's what I've got, this corporate veil protection. They can't come and sue me personally or get at my other assets outside of the LLC. But if a property's in the LLC and something happens on that property, they can at least get in the equity in that LLC. Now, the strategy Scott's talking about here is people will strip out the equity. So they'll put a loan on the property. So if I have a $1 million property and I only owe $300 left to the bank, I got $700,000 of equity, some people will say, well, let's just throw a lien on it, like kind of a fake lien, like from your own company. And that way you're stripping out the equity. Now, Mark actually wrote a book on this. I think you have a chapter on equity stripping in one of your books, no?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. I do.
Okay.
Two different books.
Okay. So one thing, I'll make my comment here and then please chime in though, Mark. Cause my first thought is it can't be BS. Like you can't just say, throw a lien on title, don't really loan the money. I think courts are going to be very skeptical of that. I'd rather see someone do a home equity line of credit or a line of credit from a real lender or bank. Even if you don't draw on the line of credit, they usually throw it on up to the approved loan amount, which in many ways is a big chunk of the equity. But these using your own second LLC that's a private lender essentially to create kind of this mirage of there's no equity there, I don't know that I really – love that strategy or that it has much legitimacy.
Well, since Matt opened the door for allowing me to make a quick comment, I'll say this. At the end of the day, in a lawsuit that got ugly and a tenacious creditor, would that kind of ghost lien be valid? It would not. You can't lien your own property with your own entity and no money transferred hands. But before a lawsuit gets that bad, would it create a hurdle? Sure. Would it create smoke and mirrors? Sure. Would an average person out there doing a title search know that it was your entity? Not without doing some work. So I tell clients, if you want to go to this extent to set up a shell and lien your own properties to show equity stripping taking place, that's great. It's a smoke and mirrors. It's a kind of a public shuffling, type of strategy, and I'm okay with that. But you've got to just know what you're getting. You're not really getting true asset protection. You're getting kind of strategy to protect. So, okay. Next question. Yep. Thank you.
I need you to do better than me. Yeah.
No. Good. This is back to 401ks, and I know Matt will clean up my answer too. Okay. So, Mita says, how can we use our solo K funds along with our individual funds in real estate without it becoming a prohibited transaction? Can we partner with other individual solo 401ks and IRAs, etc., to reduce the percentage owned by each party and make it work that way? Well, Mita, this kind of goes to the question that Bob had earlier in the show from Seattle. You're good to go. You are good to go. As long as you're forming a new entity, putting your arms around multiple 401ks and IRAs, families can all contribute together individually in their retirement accounts to create a holding company in all sorts of percentages. Where we get in problems is not the formation of the entity, it's how you operate the entity on day two. Using the property for personal benefit, paying certain family member salaries to operate, all of those things are probably going to be no-nos because of the combined ownership issues and prohibited parties. So the good answer is here, and everybody listening, can you partner with your IRA or 401k or HSA? Absolutely. That is not prohibited. And we have clients do it every day. We've been setting up LLCs for over 15 years doing that. But we caution you and we give you a comfort letter or directions on what you can't do when it comes to operating it. Literally, I walked into the office today. This is funny. I was walking into the office. I had my drink this morning, my Rockstar. I'm cranking in around the corner. And Christy goes, Mark, I have a client with an IRA held property and they need to go out and check on it. Can they take a tax write-off to go check on their IRA owned property? And I go, no. Not unless they've got some other business purpose to go out there. And she goes, and the IRA LLC can't pay the plane ticket? Nope, because they are the beneficiary of the IRA, hence the owner of the IRA, hence it would be prohibited for the IRA LLC to pay for any of their stuff. Now, could that LLC be owned by three or four different LLCs and IRAs and everybody? Sure. It's what you do on day two. Matt, is that okay? You want to?
Yeah, and also, I mean, I've got a chapter in my book on how to do that. You usually almost always use the multi-member IRA LLC. Everyone invests in at the same time. We set the ownership. You can't change the ownership or move it around between those parties. You know, you, your spouse, your personal funds, your 401k, your IRA, you know, all that stuff. You can do that. You can combine it all together. And I think it's cool, actually. A lot of people are like, wow, we have to throw $500,000 together once I put in my account, my spouse's account. I got my brother in here, and we got some of our personal funds. We're like, man, I'm not buying a single-family home. I'm buying a little apartment building now. And that can be cool. You can do that. I will say this. This is my little caution. Self-directing does take a little work. It's not hard. You just need to learn it. But if you start self-directing and the very first thing you do is you do a partnership deal where you've got your money in there, a spouse's money, your IRA, you know, your 401k, that's complicated. You got to really sit down and make sure you understand it. It's like the honors level course. So it can be done. Just give yourself some time, get some advice, make sure it's done right, study up on it. Don't just go in there thinking, yeah, I can do it, and just think you're going to throw it together how you would otherwise do it. It's not. You got some rules you got to follow, and you got to do it in the right way.
Okay, cool. We're going to keep blazing. This is Elizabeth Walden. Can you use your HSA money for medical expenses for a grown child that has aged out of your insurance? Since money was put in the HSA when they were under age 26 but never spent it, can you now use that money that they are older for them? Could you have separate funds in an HSA with just their names on it at the time that they were under your insurance for when they do age out in case you're not allowed to use it? Well, Elizabeth, first of all, and I'm just joking around here, I don't want to offend you, but quit paying for their medical. Stop it. If they're over age 26, you know, we need to have a financial intervention, and I'm going to give them a bus ticket and tell them to hit the road and figure life out. Now, as soon as I said that, Elizabeth would say, Mark, this is a child with special needs, and you're a jerk. I get it. Okay, that could happen. So, Elizabeth, forgive me if that's the case. You're taking care of a child that can't live on their own. So in that situation. But we do have a lot of clients that are trying to create independence for their children. And so I do have some tough love a lot of time conversations with kids about building their own business and their own financial wherewithal. So I joke about that, but tongue in cheek, I'm somewhat serious. Now, the answer is no, you can't do that. Once your child is no longer a dependent of yours, they're off the books on your HSA. So once your kids are not on your – now, this is a good example, okay? I'll give one example. My daughter, who's 23 – My daughter, who's 23, she called me up the other day, and I said, you're getting your own insurance, right? Yep. I'm not carrying on my insurance till she's 26. I booted her off over a year ago. I said, you want insurance? You're going to freaking get it. And she gets subsidized insurance anyway. It's cheaper for me to 1099 her and let her get her own insurance rather than keep her on my policy. Whole other topic.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes, Dad, I'm down here and I'm getting my insurance. Should I get an HSA? And I said, yes. So she can start building an HSA when she's 23 years old, 21. I don't know how old she is. But anyway, this is a really good thing for young people too, HSAs. But they've got to have their own account. So once they're not a dependent, then they can open their own account. But Elizabeth, you're kind of stuck. Use your HSA for yourself. Kick your kid out of the house and enjoy life. Move into a condo. If they come back, they got to sleep on the floor. That'll teach them. Okay, Matt, what do you got?
Wow, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, we lost
that.
A few listeners on that one, didn't we?
Yeah. I loved it, though. Okay, there's a question on a retirement account with a failed investment. Loan some money out of an IRA on a real estate development deal. It's been past due. They've defaulted, been chasing. Now, hopefully this is secured. Of course, you're loaning money on real estate. You get a lien or a mortgage on it, right? That's what the bank does. So hopefully you did that. He says lawyers are involved, but nothing's collected yet. The question is about valuing it, really, and how do you take a loss on this? Here's the thing. You're in a solo K or your IRA, if you have an investment that you have to take a loss on, now, you know, that's okay. Like, you can, you know, you bought Enron stock, or, you know, you bought an investment that goes down in value. You can take a payoff and negotiate a lower amount back to cut a deal if you need to. Maybe you don't get the full $100,000 in interest back, but you can take a discounted payoff. That'd be option one. You're obviously trying to negotiate that. You've got lawyers involved. Obviously, you can foreclose if you have the mortgage or deed of trust. You can foreclose and try and get the property, force the sale of it. But let's say there's too many people involved. You didn't get a deed of trust or mortgage. You're out of luck. You can't collect anything. You can write down the investment to zero with your IRA custodian or those that have a solo K and you're administering it yourself. You can do that. You're going to need paperwork documenting all the efforts you've done to collect it, documenting that this borrower, you know, filed bankruptcy or that you weren't able to collect in a lawsuit, or you could have just the lawyer doing the collection action say, this was uncollectible, we exerted all the efforts, it's not collectible. And then your IRA custodian or for your solo K administering yourself have that record and can reduce the value to zero. Now, hopefully you don't have to go to that route and you can negotiate a payoff for maybe even a reduced amount, but there's a way to get there. If necessary, and hopefully those steps helped.
Oh, I love it. Sorry, I was on mute there. Okay.
That's right.
I'm just trying not to breathe heavily in the phone. Only my wife appreciates that. Okay, so quick question from Julian Provo. Now,
and she actually
does. BYU fan? Yeah, no.
She actually doesn't, but.
No, yeah, it's
no,
wishful thinking.
But
okay.
You can do it with her, but she doesn't actually like it.
No. Thank you, Matt, for that reality check. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. That's what friends are for.
Yeah. You're buying lunch tomorrow. Okay. My mother-in-law, 84. This is Julian Provo, who's probably a BYU fan. So I'm really hesitant to even try to answer this question. But I try to be, you know, non-denominational here. So we got, oh, my gosh. Her mother-in-law is selling a home. They're going to get proceeds of around $255,000. Mom's going to use the sale of home exemption and not pay any taxes. And then she's going to give money to her and her husband and three different people and this family. And she said, what happens when we get this $85,000 split three ways? Well, you want to just file a gift tax return. It's very easy. It's a 709 form. No one will pay tax. Your mother-in-law can use her lifetime exemption, and you'll be good to go. So don't worry about the tax. If just meet with your accountant and make sure they file a 709. That's the form. Matt, you got 30 seconds
mm-hmm.
to give everybody some love here. Tell them, you know, any special final thoughts.
Hey, well, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We love the topic of self-directed solo 401ks and IRAs. Let us know if we can help on either front. We got the solo K special, save $200 off on attorney support. Call us at KQS Lawyers for that. Or let us know if you need an IRA at Directed IRA. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.